Chapter 24, Breaking Free. In 2001, at the age of 19, I finished high school. My grades were high, and I could pick and choose between most universities. In my last year at school, I'd had a job in a software company as a programmer and graphical designer. I wasn't an expert in either of the fields, but I knew enough of both to become a valuable bridge between the people working on the back and front end side of our product. I could read and alter codes that the programmers had written and translate it into a graphical interface like the designers wanted it. My lifelong interest in computers had paid off, and it seemed like I had somewhat of a talent for it. When I graduated school, they offered me a full-time job and a salary that was immensely better than anything else I could go out and get at that point. Somehow, I slowly accepted that I had this skill to develop, and it could and would probably be what I should build the financial foundation for my future upon. It seemed exciting to suddenly make a lot of money out of something that was natural to me after having sat in front of my computer my whole life. Only a year later, I had saved up enough money to buy my own apartment. The feeling of having my own place was thrilling. I had painted the walls myself, sanded the floor, and bought all the furniture. It was a simple little place in a not very exotic part of town, facing a large road with lots of traffic. Despite that, every day when I came home and put the key in the door, I felt more at home than anywhere else I've ever lived. It was my own place. I loved it. I owned it. Even though work had been interesting and exciting to begin with, it quickly started to bore me. I began making up ways to get around actually doing something. Most of my time, I spent chatting with my friends or being on martial arts forums, debating with Kung Fu or Pressure Point Masters about training for sport versus street. I thought less about programming and more about getting to the gym to roll. Jiu-Jitsu had taken over my mind, and I was getting frustrated with the outlook of my future. When I grew up, my father had always emphasized that I should try to create a life for myself where I was free, where I could move around and not just get stuck in an office. I had done the exact opposite and was annoyed that I hadn't succeeded in following his advice. Making money and owning an apartment was fun, but I couldn't stop wondering if I was on the right path. There had to be more to life than sitting in an office, getting paid every month, spending most of it on mortgage and the rest on food and occasionally a night out or a short vacation. Breaking out of it seemed too difficult. I suddenly had bills to pay every month, and looking into the future, I could only see more of them coming. I thought I owned an apartment, but in fact, it owned me. I was already a slave of my life and on a fast track towards getting sucked deeper and deeper into misery. Luckily, I had my training. Every evening in the gym, I could put on my gi, step onto the mat, and roll for a few hours to forget all about the real world. A world where I lived a life I didn't want. When I was younger, I trained to make my anger towards my father disappear. Now it was the mortgage, future, and boring life of my colleagues that I needed to ignore for a few hours. Once again, the gym became my sanctuary. I knew deep inside that I had to do something drastic to change my life. However, nothing happened. I just kept observing myself going to work every day and waiting to get paid at the end of the month. Months of routine life were being washed down the drain, one after the other. Months became years, and I was feeling more and more depressed. I had lots of money to spend, but my job was sucking the life out of me, and I didn't know what I would become down the road if I kept on like that. My colleagues were nice, but they also symbolized everything I didn't want to become. They all had a house in the suburbs, a car or two, and probably a dog and kids. They seemed like they liked their job and lives, but I had a suspicion that that was only because they eventually concluded they had no other choice. They were completely dependent on the cycle of working for, owning, and consuming all they had set up for themselves. And unless they convinced themselves to enjoy it, they would probably go nuts. There was no room for changing the route or scene of their lives. It was all set, and it was way too late to break out of it. I saw myself heading straight towards the same destiny, a life I didn't want, working every day with something I was losing interest in. As time passed, my frustration grew bigger and bigger as I realized that I was maybe too scared to do anything about it. 5 years into my so-called career, a short phone call from Karsten, my training and business partner in the gym, suddenly changed everything, turning my life upside down. It was an average day at the office. I had lobbied hard for years to get a location by the window with my back against the wall. That way, no one could look over my shoulder and find out that I was actually doing nothing. I had grabbed 3 discarded flat-screen monitors from the stock room, installed them next to each other on my window ledge, and had them play an endless line of triple monitor spanning beach scene videos with relaxing ocean sounds. When I got an assignment, I would say that I estimated I could finish it in a week or so. I would be on martial arts forums and look at instructional videos for 4.5 days before going full throttle and finish the work in half a day. Everyone was content with that. After an extended lunch break, I played foosball for an hour with the only other young guy working in the company. I knew it annoyed my boss, but as long as I kept my deadlines, he didn't say anything. Getting fired wouldn't really bother me. Maybe I'd been wishing for it to happen so I didn't need the courage to quit myself. I was a horrible employee, really. Back at my desk, I was reading yet another debate on the efficiency of pressure point strikes and street fights when my phone rang. It was Karsten. The last few weeks, prior to the day, a lot of big decisions were being made around the gym. The national judo team, whose room we rented, was about to lose funding due to lack of international results. The sports hall hosting the facilities were deciding whether or not to use the space for one of their many other government-funded sports or to rent it out to a business. The Danish Sports Federation, who were funding the national teams, should decide whether to keep the room for another year or terminate their contract. They also needed to figure out what to do with all their mats and weightlifting facilities. Another guy from the judo team had plans of taking over the contract and to make his own gym in the room. It was a short window of opportunity for us, and we had been acting fast, talking to everyone involved, trying to strike a deal and solve the puzzle. Now, we were only waiting for the decisions to be made. It was out of our hands and a complete make-or-break situation for us. We couldn't afford to buy brand new equipment, and getting another space in the city at the same price was impossible. With the judo team closing, we needed to stand on our own feet in order for the gym to survive. Thoughts were flying through my head. Maybe he just wanted to say something unimportant. Carson had a high-profile job in an investment bank and disliked his life as much as I did. There was a pause that seemed like it lasted forever. Then he broke the news. Everything had fallen into place. We had taken over the rental contract and were offered all the mats, weights, and machines at scrap value. Carson had checked our account and we could just afford it. The gym and everything in it was ours. We did it. I hung up the phone and leaned back in my chair for a second. I took a few slow breaths and looked out the window. The weather seemed to always be grey and boring in the suburban industrial area where I was imprisoned by my lack of initiative and courage to do something drastic about it. It was time. I knew that very moment would change and define the rest of my life. It took only about 60 seconds from hanging up the phone till I got up and walked steadily to the desk of my boss. Then I told him that I would like to quit my job as soon as possible. Cleverly, I had made sure to finish all my current projects and not take up any new ones in case I would get that very call. I was allowed to leave with only 1 week's notice, and I had literally brought my suitcase to the office on my last day there in order to go straight to the airport and out into the world when the workday had ended. Less than a day later, I planted my feet in the middle of the Canadian countryside, then the bustling city of New York and tropics of Florida. It left me with no doubt. My life with a desk job was over. Quitting that day was the most important decision of my life, and I've never looked back. The confidence in myself and my new life had reached a new high. I was eager to go out in the world and learn as much as possible so I could bring it back home. The gyms around the country were all still rushing forward, everyone pushing each other to become the best they could be. It was a race, and I had chosen to sit in the driver's seat of my own car. Thanks to the Straight Blast Gym organization, I had gotten to know a network of people around the world, especially in the United States. With my prior success traveling to Oregon and New York, I had extended my courage and set a 4-destination itinerary in 1 5-week-long trip, visiting different gyms within the organization. It was ambitious, high-paced, and I liked the taste of it. After a grueling flight to Toronto with stopovers in Amsterdam and New York, followed by a 4-hour bus ride, I arrived in Kingston, Ontario. I spent a week there with Mike and Rebecca, who were brown and purple belts at the time. We trained every day and went on a trip out of town to hike in the forest. Next stop was Niagara Falls, where a guy called Rich had a small gym. I had a guest room to myself in the basement of his house and rode his mountain bike around town with my camera all day long. I walked the streets of Toronto for a day before flying to my friends at Ronin Athletics in New York. A big hurricane had just hit Florida, but I still went there for the annual Straight Blast Gym training camp. After 5 days without electricity and people starting to loot, a curfew was being issued for the dark hours. The camp still went on for 6 hours a day. I was feeling good on the mats, rolling hard with everyone I could get my hands on. I was an eager beginner, trying to take as much experience and knowledge home with me as I could. Looking back, it is fun to think that I was probably one of those slightly annoying, athletic 23-year-old guys who wanted to test myself against everyone and just see how many colored belts I could beat. Everyone was sitting around by the walls, and they put me in the middle. I knew what was coming for me. I hadn't even thought about the possibility of getting a purple belt at the camp, only a year and a half after becoming a blue in Oregon, but now it was kind of obvious what was about to happen. One tough purple belt at a time went at me, and I took on all of them with everything I had. When I passed the guard of the third guy and submitted him from knee on belly with an armbar, I knew I had passed the test. Matt went the last round with me and pinned me to the mat for 15 minutes. When he finally let me free, I discovered that he had changed my belt during the roll. Once again, our little gym at home had proven itself. We had made it to the next level. Training was really warm and sweaty, and we needed a shower badly. There were no showers or electricity in the gym, so we 6 guys jumped into the back of a pickup truck and slowly rolled around the residential area in the early evening to look for options. One of the guys spotted a pool in a house where it looked like no one was home. We all got out of the truck, jumped the fence to the garden, and got undressed as fast as we could. I jumped into the water and went straight back up again, hurrying to get my clothes back on. We were dead scared that someone would notice us and we would get arrested, naked, for breaking into someone's garden and using their pool during a hurricane curfew. Up until then, the closest I'd ever come in my life to committing a crime would be to put 11 pieces of fruit in the back in the supermarket when there was a discount for 10. Then stand at the counter, holding my breath with pounding heart, as the woman asked if there were 10 pieces in the back, and stumble over the word yes. What a life on the edge I'm living. Around the same time, I decided to sell my apartment and move in with my girlfriend. The feeling of having owned it was nice, but letting go of it was even nicer. I felt the weight of the monthly mortgage immediately coming off my shoulders. I started to realize that letting go of things I was attached to in one way or another was a really great feeling. It was healthy for my mind and for my life. The gym was still small, and we could barely afford to pay ourselves any salary at that point. I had basically cut off more than 90% of my income from one day to the other, but with the money from selling the apartment, I could handle the bills for a while. All I had to do was to be sensible about my spending and put everything I had into making the gym a success before I ran out of money. It sounded easy enough. Training was going really well, and I felt like our little group was constantly improving. We had hit the first 100 members, and I had become more confident. My own understanding of the game came through trying to explain it to everyone else every night on the mat. When I looked at the technique or position from the outside and attempted to describe it, I understood it better myself. I was basically teaching myself jiu-jitsu. Matt had come over for seminars every year, and when he promoted the first blue belts on my team, it was one of the proudest moments of my teaching career. It all looked like we were going in the right direction in terms of learning jiu-jitsu. That's when I made a mistake.